You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
message, know him in the pardon of our sin. And for that, we are thankful and will forever be thankful. As Deacon Frank said, we need to be mindful of our prayer, of those on our prayer list. And he's not on, the family's not on this list, but I'll put it for next week and on our weekly devotional. But the Gallant family are grieving the loss of a loved one. So keep them in your prayers as well. As the bulletin tells us, we're back in our study in this great epistle, this letter that John has written in 1 John. And by way of review, we're in chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading at verse 19, and that should be page 1063 if you're using a Pew Bible. We have been talking about some things, or at least John has been showing us some things in regard to Christ and how he truly is who he is or who he said he was. And we also saw some things in regard to sin and how Satan, even in the very beginning, used the same type of luring folk into sin with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. And he did it in the garden, and he's still using it even today. And the reason why he had not changed is because it still works. Amen. Which brings us to verse 19 of chapter 2. And if you're with me, please say amen. And John writes here, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And I shared last week about some guys that I know I started this walk off with, and some of them are not in this walk anymore, and I'm sure you know of some as well. And listen, for different and various reasons, they say it, but John makes it simple. He's saying that the reason why they're able to walk away and not walk with Christ anymore, it's not even about you, not walk with Christ anymore, is because they never really, truly were. Listen, we all have some issues. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sometimes fall back into sinful behavior. But to be able to go back and stay there and live in sin in peace, there's an issue with the belief that we say we have. And John is helping us with that. He's saying that we never really had it in the beginning. He says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. In other words, shown to what manifest that they were not all of us. He goes on in verse 20 and he begins to talk to us. And we saw this last week in regard to us and our believers and how we are to live. He said, but ye, again, talking about true believers, have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And listen, he's talking about this unction. He's talking about this anointing that God has given us through his Spirit. And because he's in us, man, even if I wanted to go contrary, I surely couldn't stay there. But even then, even before I go, he helps me to understand that we don't live there. I don't live there. I don't go there anymore. In verse 21, he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye knew it or know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And look, what I have found through years, and look, Scripture validates it, but I've tried to live it as well, that as believers, guys, you cannot survive without the Lord. And if you're going into the area of sin and trying to live there, the Lord's not going with you. Although he knows you're there and his Spirit lives inside of you, you're going to grieve him to the point where you're not going to be able, for the believer, to stay there. He says in verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. In 22, he says, but who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus Christ, it says he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. And listen, though we know the Antichrist will come, the actual Antichrist, physically in person, right now, John's helping us understand there are those that are diametrically opposed to Christ. And listen, the sooner or the closer it gets to Christ coming back, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And in fact, when folk would kind of hide or veil their dislike for Christ and his people, right now it's coming. They're coming out of the closet and letting you know not only don't like him, don't like you, but they hate him and they hate the light that you bring, because it shows their darkness for what it truly is, which is sin. In verse 22, he says, "Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus Christ," it says, "he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son," John writes in verse 23, "the same have not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." And look, many times you're talking to somebody and you might mention God, or you might have a shirt that says something about God, or I got a hat that says there's no hope except in God, and folk are ready and willing and able to jump on that God. But the moment you get narrow and start talking about his son, Jesus Christ, unless the Lord has touched their heart, unless they truly know Jesus, the hairs on their back are going to stand up. Because they realize that he represents the light. And guys, darkness does not like the light of Christ. Amen? Please be prayerful with me as I continue in this sermon series. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Father God, allow these words that you have had me to study through this week, the Lord, to be not only meat for me, not only spiritual food for me, but Father God, for your congregation that's here on this day. Father, I pray, Lord, we know many are going through different and various trials, different and various things that they have concerns of. But Father, I pray that through these truths, you'll help them to understand that indeed you are the only way, you are the only truth, and listen, through you only can life be found. So I ask that you bless us, you comfort us, you minister to us, and Father God, as you see fit, that you will heal us and bring us to the place of contentment, but only in you. And Father, we thank you in advance as we say yes to your will and to your way and to your word that you present to us on this day, as we pray in Jesus Christ and his holy name. And let God's church say amen and amen. Chapter 2, look at verse 24. Prayerfully, you are with me, and if you are, please say amen. And he writes here, he says, "Let us therefore look," or "let that," he says, "therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning." If, he says, "that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in ye, and you, ye also," he says, "shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And listen, he's talking about God's Spirit, of course. And look, it's not so much that you're letting him abide, but you're not going contrary so that you can make sure you're not grieving the Spirit that lives inside of you. Guys, if you're doing wrong and you belong to the Lord, you're not going to feel well about it. There's going to be something that the Lord is going to help you in your heart know that you've done wrong, and you can try to bury it and say, "Well, that's over, and my sins are forgiven, and I don't have to worry about it." No, you still need to get that right with him. First and foremost, we should not go there. But when we do, we have an unction, and John just spoke about it, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he reminds you that you don't need to be there anymore. He says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And again, God's Spirit as well as his truth. It says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you'll walk righteously, you'll talk righteously, you'll do righteously, and you'll seek no other place or source for what you need in this life. He says in verse 25, and this is the promise that he had promised, even, he says, eternal life. And listen, that's what he's promised us, guys, eternal life. And by the way, it started at salvation, and it continues for forever. I don't even know that's a word, for forever, but I'm saying it. And listen, he's talking about eternally, and you're with him forever. Look, we're with one another forever on this side and then on the other side. And God has you and will bless you and will minister to you, and he'll give you what you need in time. And he's already set up your eternity in heaven, which is why I have no problem serving him or even telling folk that I serve him, because he's taking care of me. And he has always taken care of his children. He says in verse 25, and this promise that he had promised us, he says, even everlasting life. And these things, John goes on in verse 26, he says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And listen, he's pointing toward false teachers, those that are coming along, and they're trying to show you a different way. But please know, John wants us to know they're false, and there's not a better way. He goes on. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed, he says, teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And listen, he said a lot of words there, but what he's simply saying is that God's spirit, God, believe it or not, is now part of your DNA. And it won't come up and show up in a blood test, a human blood test, but he's now part of you, and you can't escape him. And John wants us to know, as true believers, that listen, even in regard to me standing here and teaching and preaching about the word, and prayerfully you learn something, but the only way you're truly going to learn is because the Holy Spirit enlightens you and blesses you and ministers to you and helps that light bulb go off, so you'll know that what we see in his word is true. I had an instructor, in fact, he was a dean of a school, and you may have heard me say this before, but he was a unsaved man, and he used to play in different bands and that kind of thing, and he was walking on a beach one day because he went down there, he had purchased a gun, and he was getting ready to take his life. And he sat on a rock, and he put the gun to his head, and he looked down and saw a Bible. And he picked up that Bible, one of the little New Testaments, and he began to read it. And without anyone instructing him, without anyone telling him what that word meant, the Lord touched his heart in regard to who he was or who his son was. And listen, he blessed him with salvation and started him on a journey that led all the way to heaven, because he's going on to be with Christ now. And with no one there, the Lord touched and blessed via the Holy Spirit and helped that man know that what he was getting ready to do was not what God would have him to do. And he threw the gun in the ocean, and he went home, and he began to pray, went off tour with the group he was with, and began to pray. And God sent godly folk his way to give him a better understanding of what he had read. And from that point on, he served Jesus Christ, and all the way to the point of being a dean of a Bible school, something that man couldn't do, but God did it through his word. Amen. He says in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And listen, he's speaking, of course, we know there's going to be a second coming when Christ comes back to deal with sin and sinners once and for all. But here he's actually talking about the rapture, and we know ultimately the judgment when we be judged for our works here on earth. But he's talking about the rapture here, man, and he's saying that we'll have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And I think about Christ coming back for his church. He's not going to touch down at that time. He's going to call us, and we're going to meet him in the air. And guys, there's going to be some folk that will not go up. And listen, if you ever was going to be ashamed, that would be the time to be ashamed. If you're walking around saying you know and love the Lord, but in reality, you really do not. And though you got everybody bamboozled, and they think I'm a Christian, and they believe I'm a Christian, guess who knows you're not? And if it's today or tomorrow or whenever he comes back and you don't go up, then you're going to be ashamed big time. And I suspect there's going to be a whole lot of uh-ohs going on across the land because they realize that they really did not know him. And listen, the fact that they're still breathing, there's still hope. But during that time, because once the church is gone, the tribulation period starts here on earth, and it's going to be a hard time to try to believe during that time. And what John is helping us understand and trying to tell us that, look, right here and right now, while we're in our right minds or fairly in our right minds, we need to make sure that this thing in my heart is Jesus Christ. It's not heartburn. It's not just something I think. It's not head knowledge, but it's heart knowledge. And I know he died for me. You need to know that personally. And if you know that, then you're in good stead and you won't be ashamed. But if you don't, now would be a good time to ask him into your heart. Amen. He says in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. And listen, I love that, because he was just talking about false teachers. And so he's talking about when somebody comes in Christ's name, that their actions are going to speak louder than their words. Before they can open their mouth and say, I love Jesus, you're going to see by the way they conduct themselves that there's something different, that they're coming in the name of the Lord. And listen, it'll show even before they actually open their mouths about it. And by the way, for us, I call it the silent witness. When folks see you, see your life, and see how it's categorized, and you always got something nice to say, you're saying to them, God bless you, you're always trying to do for folk, or always doing, and listen, never sinning, or going into the area of sin, they see that as a countenance about you, and that silent witness speaks volumes, and it very well might have someone come up to you and ask you about the hope that you have within. How come it seems like you're always at peace? How come it seems like you always feel seeming okay? How come I know you had some trouble last week, but you're not crying? You're still trying to be a blessing to other folk. What is it about you? What do you have that I don't have? And you can simply sit down and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in verse chapter 3, verse 1, as John begins to speak about God's children, and by the way, we are his children. And listen, he reborned us in him. In fact, he grafted us in, and he adopted us into his family. And no longer are we products of the world, guys. So we ought not be living and acting like the world. We now belong to the Lord. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, look what he says, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And guys, there are a whole lot of folk, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, that I grew up with, and listen, they thought they knew me, and I guess I thought they knew me as well. But they see me now, or they talk to me now, and they see that my rap, my talk, and everything about me is totally different. I'm not going down the path with them in regard to some sinful thing that we used to do. I don't want to hear that unless I'm talking about it in regard to Christ have forgiven me of those things. And a lot of folk that I used to hang out with, or be with, or spend time with, I can't spend time with them anymore. Because they're going one direction, and I'm going in a totally different direction. Man, me and my wife were talking the other day, and we recognize and realize that at the age that we are, we have lived longer than we have to live. And if we were ever going to be a pillar for Jesus Christ, now would be the time. And listen, tomorrow I might not even know my name. But today I know his name. And listen, I got a little energy, a little stamina, a little juice, so I'm going to be about my Father's business, and I don't have time to fool around with folk of the world in their foolishness. Because God had called me out of that and into his work. And I need to be serious about it. I don't need to just tell you I'm serious. You ought to see it. That every aspect of my life, I'm trying to give it all to the Lord. I want to be sold out. And I still got some areas that he's working on, and I thank God for that. But every day, growing in grace, learning more, less of me, and more of him. And no time to play reindeer games no more. I must serve my Lord. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Guys, do me a favor and mark that page, put your bulletin there, and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. That should be page 1055 if you're using a pew Bible. Just a few pages back. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Thank you, Lord. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he actually speaks about our lives as God's chosen people. We just sang a song about that God has chosen us. And he begins to speak about, he's teaching believers how really, in reality, we ought to live. Chapter 2, verse 1, if you're with me, say amen. He begins here, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." So he lists a litany list of these sinful worldly practices that we used to do. And he said, we lay it aside. And guys, by the way, you can't do that in of yourself. You can't stop sinning on your own. But with Christ, man, we can do all things. In verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby." And guys, I use this analogy a lot in regard to an infant, a baby. Listen, he instinctively is looking to his mother to be sustained. He instinctively knows that what he needs to live on this world, in this life, on this world, that can be found in his mother. And for a believer, we need to know, in order to be sustained spiritually, that we need God's word. That's where it is. And when the issues of life come, look, I know it's in God's word. I struggle with alcoholism. What does he say about being not drunk with wine? I struggle with lust. Let me see what he says about lusting. I struggle here or I struggle there. And God has something to say. And look, they're not just words. That's why I love his book. But they are inhabited with him in his spirit. And they're truths. And listen, when I read them and make them part of me, hallelujah, I begin to live them and walk in them. And I'm strengthened because of God's truth, moment by moment and day by day. He says, as newborn babes, desire. And by the way, I don't work that desire up. Because I belong to the Lord, he gives me that desire. And just like a little babe will start crying, and look, you don't know what they're saying, but you put them near a bottle or his mother's breast, and he will show you what needs to be done. You don't even have to tell him. And for a Christian, man, when I'm going through, when life is just beating me on every side, and look, I don't have nowhere else to go, I open the book, and I begin to read, and I get sustenance for my soul. And when I'm finished reading, look, my issue might still be there, but how I react to that issue, it ain't the same no more. Because I know that the God of glory has just blessed my heart, and he helps me to know, Ralph, I'm on it. I got you. I'm going to take care of that. And listen, by faith, I believe it. And rather than me agonizing over it, I give it to him, and hallelujah, I keep on going by faith, believing God's going to do something. And by the way, by faith, yes, because Scripture said it, but also by past life experiences that he's always brought me through. And listen, I've had some buddies that said, Brother Ralph, I'm right here through thick and thin. And listen, it got thick and they got thin. And by the way, they let me down. And I've let some folk down over the years. But Jesus Christ had never let me down. Never. And will never let me down or let you down either. That's why we count on him. That's why we look unto him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And by the way, like a baby in his milk, if he drinks enough, he's going to start to grow. And after a while, he's not going to want milk anymore. He's going to want something more substantial. And listen, I started off praying, and my prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's an honorable prayer, but I got to tell you, over the years, God has deepened my prayers because he's taught me something about him. And listen, my prayers are a lot deeper because I know a lot more about him than I did before. He says in verse 3, and this is a little caveat that we can't miss. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if indeed you truly know him. And by the way, if you do, it's going to show. Not only will God know, but man's going to know by the way we conduct ourselves. He says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 3, verse 4 says it. And as we go into verse 4, he's going to show us how he's the foundation. He's the cornerstone of not only us individually, but for the church as well. Because without Christ, there is no church. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. And listen, precious, yes, of God, but precious or more precious or most precious to we who know him. And listen, the world don't want no parts of him, but to us, man, we can't live without him. And he's talking about Christ. And he goes on, ye also in verse 5, talking about believers as lively stones. And it could be interpreted, stones that are alive are built up on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And by the way, no robes are needed. He says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And guys, he calls us priests. And because we are, we know that the Levitical priests, those that were in the tribe of Levi, they were born physically into it. But man, we have been reborn spiritually into this priesthood by the finished works of Christ and his calling us to be his children. In verse 6 it says, wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He says, elect, precious, and him that believeth on him.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ.